Give Pastor Lance a warm welcome as he brings Psalm 103 to us today.
Aloha, everyone. We're going to turn in the scriptures to Psalm 103, and if you don't have a Bible and would love to have one to follow along, the ushers have them, and they'd be more than happy to lend you one, or you could take it home with you. We won't care. But yeah, Psalm 103 this morning. You know, the preacher must always preach to himself first before he gets to preach to anyone else. And in Psalm 103, that is just exactly what David does. This is a psalm that David is stirring up within himself in a personal conversation in a poem that is in front of everyone else. He is going to stir up within himself for him with all that he has to bless God and to not forget any of the benefits that he has from this great God that he worships. Psalm 103 begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. May the Lord cause us this morning to take this word to heart, because we have the privilege, the duty, the honor, and the delight of honoring the Lord God Almighty. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I have been saying that for a few weeks now. It seems that the longer I walk with the Lord and see his faithfulness and concentrate on him, and he has preeminence in my life, not perfectly, I assure you, but as often as possible, that I am overwhelmed with the holiness of God. We often think simply of the holiness of God as far as his moral attributes, his morality, his righteousness, his ethics. But to the Hebrew, to say that the name of the Lord is holy is to go beyond just that. It is to see God exalted, lifted up in his great, transcendent, majestic glories. To see him so far above his creation in his glory, that there is only one proper response to the great God of the universe, where there is no comparison to him. He alone, worthy. He alone hung the stars. He alone established the earth. He alone is the Lord God Almighty, sovereign potentate of all human history. He is the Lord of hosts of heaven. And the response that David is stirring up within himself is to bless the Lord. And everybody who read this or heard this sung, and we sang it, didn't we? We sang these first few verses, would have understood that when David said, "Bless the Lord," he meant one thing. He meant, bend the knee, David. Bow low before the Lord in worship. Bend the knee. And I say to us this morning, church, because of all that God is and all that he ever has been and will always be, Jehovah God, Yahweh, Bend the knee. This is a call to humility. This is a call to bending low before the Lord, humbling ourselves before the Lord, as Peter says, that he might, at the proper time, lift us up and exalt us. It is a matter of the heart. David says, with all that is within you, David, every bit of your fiber in your entire being, bend your knee in humble adoration and reverence to the holy name of God. David, you need to do this. Lance, you need to do this. Church, we need to do this. We need to, as Jesus said, as he directed the disciples in the prayer, to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Revered, reverenced, sacred is your name. The church must be in that place of reverence before God. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about getting stiff. We're not talking about being religious. We're talking about the heart of man, the very place where we make all of our decisions, all that is us as human beings, God's creation redeemed by the very blood of Christ, must come to that place where we, out of love and adoration for God, bend low before the God of the universe. We must understand that even though through the blood of Christ we have been forgiven completely and perfectly, as we will read a little later in this psalm, God has removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. We have full access into the throne of grace to receive mercy constantly. But we know for a very fact that we do not belong there because of anything that we are or what we have done, only because of the grace of God and the sacrifice of Christ. It is this great place of bending low and having God lift us up. We must bend low before we can enjoy sitting in the heavenly places with Christ. We must understand that this is the life of serving, and someday we will rule and reign with Christ. David says, with all that is within me. I can't really emphasize that enough. Anything less than that is just hypocrisy. Isaiah said it, and then Jesus quoted it as Matthew writes, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away." God is not at all concerned with our externals. As far as our worship goes, if it does not come from our heart, God is always looking for the heart. It is this amazing living love relationship that we have, where we have the privilege of honoring God with our heart, with our words, and with our lives, as we do all things as unto the Lord, that he might receive glory as these human vessels, these earthen vessels, are empowered with the resurrection power of Christ through the work of God the Holy Spirit. Where the people who are redeemed by God would stand against the evil of this present age, would be willing to present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord God Almighty, that he might receive glory, that his perfect will would be done through us, that we would, to coin a phrase, pursue those who don't know Christ, pursue those who do not honor God and do not give him thanks as we once did, that we would be active in our being salt and light in this world. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Lance, bless his holy name and forget none of his benefits. God has the greatest benefits package that you could ever imagine. Nobody's got one any better. And my wife's workplace has a great one, but it doesn't compare. Not even a tiny little bit. Forget none of his benefits. You see, David admits something here, doesn't he? And it's something that we're all plagued with. We forget. And the older I get, the more real this scripture verse really is. I forget what I have in Christ. And so sometimes I might even attribute something wonderful to something besides God as the ultimate source. Forget none of his benefits, David. Forget none of his benefits, Lance. Forget none of his benefits, church. The job of the pastor, I believe, as much as anything, is to remind us of what we already have, so that we might be to the praise of the glory of God as we thank him for this grace that he has bestowed upon us in Christ. David begins personally to continue with the benefits. See, first of all, David says, bend your knee before God because he is God. Period. Don't bend your knee before him because of what you have, because on some days that are not going well for you as far as what you think they ought to go, you might not bend your knee. You might not live out this simple obedience to the word of God and his commandments to love him with all your heart and all your strength and all your mind and then your neighbors yourself. No. Worship and bow down before him because of who he is, because he is worthy of your worship. He alone. But then, don't forget those benefits. In verse 3, he says, who pardons all your iniquities, speaking of himself, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The greatest gift we have is that God punished his own son in our place. And we were pardoned. David says in verse 11, he says, as far, as high as the heavens above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far he has removed our transgressions from us. In Christ, we are completely and absolutely forgiven forever. He heals our diseases. The greatest disease of all was our spiritual disease of sin, which marred the very image of God in us. He redeems your life from the pit. For the Christian, death has lost its sting. The grave has no victory over us. We pass from this life into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, absent from the body and present with the Lord, where there is joy that we cannot even imagine in the very presence of our Lord, where we will finally see his holiness in his glories. Oh, what an amazing thing that is. We should be looking forward to that all the time. We should be hastening and longing and looking for the return of Christ to take his bride home. We should be desiring to be with Christ, where he will wipe away every tear from us. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. There is a youthful effervescence that can come to us. The oldest of Christians, the physically, can have that youthful outlook, that great hope of the future with Christ, that promise of the future with Christ. We can have that because he does satisfy us with good things every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, the Father of lights. He crowns us, listen to this, church, with loving kindness and compassion. He understands we're just dust. He understands our failings. He understands how we desire in the new man to walk in a manner worthy to satisfy and fulfill his desires, his will, but he also understands we have the flesh. And he is very compassionate, like a father to a child. David ends this psalm after calling the angels and the host of heaven and all creation to do as he wants to do, to bend before the living God in humble adoration and reverence, in worship. And he says, "Bless the Lord, all you works of his, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." The two things that Paul tells us in Romans that earmark the non-believer, which we all once were, or perhaps even you are today, is that they do not honor God or give him thanks. And for us, the opposite should earmark us. We should honor God and give him thanks. This morning we have the privilege of continuing to honor God. So far we have honored him in our praise, the fruit of our lips. In our offering, we have honored him to give back to him some of what he has given us so the ministry can continue. We have honored him in welcoming and loving brothers and sisters who are visiting. We have continued on and in the preaching of the word. And now we have the extreme privilege of honoring God in communion. I wonder if I could have the ushers come forward and we will begin communion this morning. It takes a little bit of time, and I want to be very sensitive to the Sunday school teachers. Communion is something that is very special to us as Christians, isn't it? It is something that we do in remembrance of God's demonstration of his great love for us. In a moment, we're going to pass out the bread, and I would like you to please hold it, if you would. We'll take it together. I'd like to read you a little something from Paul the Apostle concerning the Lord's Supper as the men begin to pass out the bread. Go ahead, gentlemen. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul adds, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We remember this great act of love where God himself, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, lived a perfectly sinless, holy life, completely and absolutely in the will of the Father to undo what Adam did, and then humbled himself to the point of dying on a cross, that he might bear our sin, died, was buried, rose again on the third day, ultimately ascended into heaven, and sits now at the right hand of the Father, and will return in triumphant glory, where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. He is God. So we honor God by obeying him because the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. It was after giving thanks that he broke that bread. So when everybody has the bread, I will pray for us. And then this is also a wonderful time to honor God in searching our hearts, isn't it? To say, like David said, Lord, please check my heart out. See if there's any hurtful thing in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart really be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my